Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. Right Choice Services develops individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them that they've always wanted to write. I'm Vanessa Lauer, your host for today's show. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as part of their work. I'm joined with my co-host and producer, Kevin Finn. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Vanessa.
You know, we're just finished through the holidays and getting ready to start the new year. What do you have any big plans going into the new year?
No, I'm going to look for a fun New Year's party, maybe. I might go to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. I've got tickets to that, so I'm
excellent.
Not sure.
Excellent. Well, it's going to be an amazing new year, and I'm hoping that this is going to be the most prosperous year for all of our listeners. So I'm excited to have our guest with us in the studio today. She's Cynthia Good, and it's going to be a fun way to kick off our new year. Our show always talks about the power of the pen. So today we're going to talk about combining the power of the pen with embracing the power of pink. So we've got Cynthia Good with us in the studio, and she is a businesswoman who knows the power of the pen. Women are a powerful force, spending $20 trillion each year. Smart businesses know the importance of engaging women as employees, leaders, partners, and clients. Cynthia Good is an award-winning journalist with more than two decades of experience anchoring TV newscasts at stations across the country. She's created TV programs, wrote six books, won the Georgia Author of the Year Award. She opened Horseradish Grill Restaurant and the Chapter 11 bookstore chain. She launched Atlanta Women Magazine and Pink Magazine, which grew to a readership of 650,000 people. A few years ago, Pink became one of the first publications to transition to a totally digital platform. Little Pink Book won the Stevie Award for the best website of the year in 2011 and in 2012. Targeting working women, Little Pink Book is a short daily e-note that comes into subscribers' inboxes with tools, resources, and expert advice, including the latest data, trends, tips, and inspiration for small business owners, top execs, those in middle management, and anywhere in between. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. Well said. What a wonderful introduction.
Well, you all have wonderful things on your website. So.
Oh, thanks so much.
So what made you decide to transition Pink Magazine into a totally digital format a few years ago?
Well, for me, as a journalist, really, my goal was to see how I could make the biggest positive impact. So for me, it doesn't really matter whether it's print, whether it's through books, radio program, TV, magazine, whatever is the best way, I think, really to reach the demographic. And right now, absolutely, in my opinion, it really is the internet and through all of the technology we have access to today. So if you can give a woman 250 words that can change her work and her life, you know, just like that every day and meet her where it's going to be most convenient for her, especially because our women have such busy lives, then that's going to be the best way to deliver that kind of information to her.
So how did you decide that 250 word e-note was the perfect size?
Well, you know, we're all really busy, especially these women in our community who are juggling so much at work and also at home. And so she needs to see something that's quick and that catches her attention in that virtual medium, but also something that can be more substantive and have the depth and link her to other resources that she might need. And it's really short. At the same time, the Gettysburg Address was 250 words. So we think we can accomplish a few things.
Well, and it's amazing to me that, you know, the more I write, the more I understand that it's actually harder to write shorter than it is to write long.
It really is. I mean, journalism is not what it used to be, you know, and I've just actually brought in a couple really smart members of our team. I have a new editor, Nicole Williams. You know, she writes for companies like the New York Times, and I just spoke with her editor, and she told me that her blogs are always the most read and the most clicked and the most forwarded, because I think this new generation really of writers understands that they need to position things differently. It's more of a conversation, having a dialogue, speaking to the individual rather than just maybe sharing data or something that doesn't connect with them directly.
Well, and I know that you're a journalist and an author, and that you've done a lot of writing over the years, and now you have a lot of people that are writing under your company as well. But do you personally still do some writing?
Sure. I mean, the most fun really for me is to brainstorm about the kinds of stories we can do that will have the biggest impact for women, and then to work with the most talented writers in the country to share that information and that perspective. And of course, every once in a while, I do you know, write pieces. I get to do the interviews. We just did a feature on Kate Quinn, who is the CMO of WellPoint. Actually, she is now the outgoing CMO of WellPoint. But here is one of the rare women in a C-level job at a Fortune 500 company who really shares deep, you know, into her life and her philosophy, and you get a glimpse of what it really takes for her to get to the level that she has reached. You know, what is the price that she paid as a woman to do something like that? So it's really fun to me and interesting to talk with these women who are doing what so few others have in their lives and their careers. It's just fascinating to me. And that way, the rest of us get to see how we can do it too. So I enjoy doing those interviews and those stories personally.
Well, and because of the content that you all send out every day, I mean, you have e-notes that go out every day, and then you've got a lot of information in addition to that on the website. But what kind of schedule do you all have to be on to continually come up with new ideas and be able to create, you know, these really compelling 250-word e-notes that go out every day?
Well, you know, you want to keep it really relevant. The new year is kicking off with a record 4.2% of female CEOs in the Fortune 500. Woohoo! 4.2%!
Awesome.
Oh my gosh, at this rate, it's going to take, what, more than 200 years before we see as many women as men in those roles. But, you know, so we just really, you know, listen to our readers and what their needs are. What is keeping women from getting ahead? There are certain things that men tend to do that women just don't intuitively do. So those are the kinds of things that we talk about. You know, the pay gap is huge still. And by the way, these numbers have barely budged over the last several years since Pink has come into existence and Little Pink Book. So, you know, we're really looking at what can we do? What stories can we tell that will help push the envelope and enable women to get, you know, further up that corporate ladder in a way where they can still retain their authenticity and have the chance to do, have the courage to do what they love.
Well, and I love that Pink has structured your content with your e-notes around some broad categories. So if a woman is more interested in one category than another, she kind of knows where to look for that. Can you describe what those categories
well,
are?
Well, and you know, we really suffer from email overload, right? So we have the app, you can use it that way. And if you don't want to have a story every single day, you can get a recap at the end of the week. Or to your point, Mondays, we talk about stories that are just relevant for women business owners. Tuesdays, financial issues. But that can be anything from, we just are doing a story actually today on long-term care and how you can do that in a way that's smarter. Retirement stories, longevity, getting a pay raise on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We talk about how to advance your career, you know, how to ask for the promotion. Because too many women just simply assume that the boss knows all the amazing things they've done. That's not true. I still think women are very challenged. The data backs us up. When it comes to asking for a raise, we aren't sure how to do it. You have to ask. You have to be assertive, but you have to be really nice and couch it in the context of what is going to be best for this organization. And then on Thursdays, we cover stories about life balance. As you know, it's a huge issue today, more than ever before for women. And Friday, fashion and fun. What to wear to the boardroom and how to have that girlfriend getaway or hold a fantastic New Year's holiday party for your office, you know. So those sorts of stories, we get to cover the gamut.
Well, and I love that through your publication that you know, inform women that they don't have to give up their femininity and the things that really make them, you know, special about our gender, while they can be successful, while giving them tools to be more successful with their businesses.
Absolutely, because Vanessa, you know, when you talk about success, there can be no success without authenticity. You can get the biggest salary and have the most important title in the world, but if you are not able to be true to yourself and really retain who you are, that's not success. I mean, I think of my friend Carol Tomei, CFO of the Home Depot, and she has these fabulous glasses, and she has this amazing style, and she is who she is as a woman and an individual, and at the same time, she is at the highest level of business. And we really, that's why it's called Pink, Little Pink Book. We worked with Mary Catherine Bateson, the daughter of Gregory Bateson, and Margaret Mead, two very well-known, obviously famous anthropologists. And we talked about, wouldn't it be great if we could take this word, which was sort of a pejorative, right? Pink, little girl, sort of weak, helpless, and flip it on its ear so it became something associated with power and, you know, similar to what was done with black. Black is beautiful, gay, pride. pride. And to a good degree, I think we really helped do that. It's people's attitudes are a lot different today than they were when we launched the company. Women were shocked. Women were horrified. I got hate letters from women executives saying, what? Don't call it pink. I'd never let anybody see the pink side of myself in the office. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to do that in order to really have made it.
So what do you think has fueled that transition to women being able to embrace their authentic selves at work more? Do you, is there anything that you can kind of track that to?
Well, I think a lot of the women back in the day who made it to the top had to give up so much, you know, that the question was it really worth it? The price maybe was too great. And then the younger women coming up through the ranks, you know, who are getting their MBAs today, graduating from college, they want to be able to have more fun. They don't want to compromise so much. They don't want to have to be, you know, the man in the skirt. Big pushback from the younger women. They're just not willing to do it. And I think the best leaders, I think of, you know, women like Rilla Decorlea, who is the CMO over at SunTrust. She's a real woman. She has long hair. You know, she doesn't wear a lot of makeup. She's beautiful. She, when she speaks, she talks like herself. She talks from the heart, not just from the head. That's what it's going to take to see more women leaders emerge who are authentic and who are great in all of the traditional ways as well. You know, they're great, you know, when it comes to management and all those hard disciplines too.
Well, and I mentioned earlier that women spend $20 trillion a year, which I got from your website, which I think is just amazing. So as we launch into this new year, how would you suggest that businesses can embrace that power of pink in their business?
Well, yeah, I mean, women, you know, first and foremost, it's up to us. We're our biggest critics, right? What can we do to be bigger advocates for ourselves? There are a ton of things that we can do on our own behalf. We just did some research at our last pink event, and you know, you can read profiles of all these senior level women, certainly, and how they did it. But some of the data we collected, it was about 50% of the women in the room. These are the most ambitious women in the room, in the world, really, the women who are part of Pink's community. Half of them had not asked for a pay increase in the last 6 months.
Wow.
Of those who did, half of them got a pay increase or a major perk. So, you know, you've got to ask. It's a big mantra for Pink. If you don't ask, you don't get. Asking is for free. You've got to get up and ask. And if you don't, you're just not going to get it. And then I think to be a little strategic in the way you ask, so it is a win-win. But we just simply fail to negotiate. I think that's women's biggest problem. When it comes to the organizations, the companies are really on notice right now. They need to have more women in those high roles. We're seeing a lot of these women leaving their positions, like Kate Quinn, CMO of WellPoint, and being replaced by white men. Oftentimes, the guys who are replacing them have significantly less experience. That's hard to see. I know as Kate is stepping down, she received literally hundreds of letters from women in the organization who thanked her so deeply for being an inspiration to them. So companies like a Coca-Cola company, FedEx, AIG, other organizations like that are taking big steps to make sure that they are moving women up through the ranks. And it's going to take a concerted effort on the part of organizations. I won't go so far as to say we need an external quota system, because I know the women, first and foremost, would be offended by that. They want to be promoted and judged based on their merits. Nevertheless, I do recommend that organizations think about taking a close look at the metrics internally and targeting goals. You know, what you don't measure, you can't change. And organizations like AIG are actually actively doing that because they know they need to make changes. The optics are bad when you don't have any women in leadership roles. Plus, as you mentioned, Vanessa, everyone who's buying these products is a woman. So you've got to connect with the women internally and externally, and organizations know they need to do that.
Well, and I would like to, you mentioned the events that you all put on, and I would like to talk a little bit more about that. I know you had one just a few months ago that was hugely successful, and several of my business acquaintances and friends went, and I just saw one of them last weekend, and I said, so what did you think about the Pink event? And she said, I loved the speakers. She said they were just such incredible, high power women, and they all talked about how to stay grounded and how to stay, you know, in balance, and what do they do to stay connected to the people that are important to them. So can you tell us a little bit more about the events that you put on?
And that's really the crazy thing about these events. We've been doing this for 8 full years now in across the country. The last one was here in Atlanta, sold out crowd, more than 300 women. We live streamed them. So we had more than 1,000 women listening in from across the country. And the crazy thing is you get these, some of the most powerful business influencers in America together in a room, women speaking to other women, and they're telling the real stuff, like, you know, the hard, what really happened, what the boss really said when she got pregnant, you know. And we had the highest ranking woman, one of the highest ranking women from Procter & Gamble, Terry Listowel, who's the SVP and treasurer over there, one of the highest ranking women from Accenture, Chief General Counsel and Compliance Officer Julie Sweet, and then Kate Quinn from WellPoint. And they, you know, really shared how they have been able to do something that so few other women have and what they've given up in the process and what their advice would be to other women who are, you know, interested in also creating a beautiful career and a beautiful life for themselves and those around them. So we do it, you know, twice a year, once a year every fall. We feature high-level women in corporate America. And then in the spring, we bring in some of the most fascinating and successful women business owners. We had Gigi from Gigi's Cupcakes, you know, who has a multi-million dollar franchise now that she's built that's across most of the United States. And it's really interesting to learn from these women who've been in the trenches and they're sharing the real stuff.
Well, and I know that at this last event that you all, as you mentioned, you had a lot of live streaming and you had, you know, people sending in Twitter questions that you would ask. And so how have you learned how to incorporate that into your events?
Well, we have a heavy social media focus, of course, for the company, since we do pride ourselves on being digital and being one of the early adopters. So we're all over Twitter and retweeting and, you know, sharing the latest news of the day as it impacts women, the latest data and just expertise from women. And that's, you know, shared questions. We were able to receive tweets from women in different places across the country and share the questions live with our panelists. And we do the same every day through Twitter and also Facebook by the day with, by the way, with, you know, affirmational quotes and inspiration. It's a lot of fun. And it's just a way, really, I think, to make the community more interactive because women have a lot of questions. So even in the stories that we send out every day, there's a chance to comment and ask questions and to share your experience. Because back to the written word, once you have that dialogue, whether it's on the radio or at an event or, you know, through the daily e-notes, I think we really benefit from having that conversation.
So can you think of an article or a topic that has generated a lot of interaction from your community?
Well, we're working on one right now on New Year's resolutions, what women in business will not do in 2013, you know, because you have these women who are working so hard all day and really making a big impact through their work. The last thing we felt they needed was another thing that they had to do, right? New Year's resolution.
Right.
I'm going to diet. I'm going to, you know, work harder or make more money or, you know, make a bigger change. So we asked them, what will you not do in 2013? That's fascinating. That's getting a huge response. Also, we did a story, was our most popular story on mompreneurs. Tons of stories from women who talk about how they were able to do it and how great that experience is. The comments just went on and on and on.
So I want to talk about both of those for just a minute. So the what not to do, can you share a couple of things that women are saying that they're not going to do for 2013?
Well, you'll have to take a look. I mean, we talked to, for instance, the president of Arby's, Hala Mottlemaugh. We talked to the president of the foundation over at Newell Rubbermaid, right next door to where you're broadcasting from. And, you know, women from Coke and fascinating women from different disciplines. And there seemed to be a common theme. In 2013, I would say the common theme of what not to do for the year, excuse me, would be to give all of your life force, time, and energy to your job because you got to save some for yourself and the people you love. And I think really more and more women who have become so powerful and effective at work are realizing that and they're refusing to give it up. So good for them.
Well, and I think, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, even 10 years ago, women that were very successful in business, that was what was required, that they had to really kind of give it all to work. So it's,
right. And still even today at the highest levels of business, and which is, you know, one reason I think why we don't see more women in those roles, because it does demand a lot as it demands a lot of the men.
So in addition to the e-notes, I know you all have lots of great information and resources on the Little Pink Book website. Can you talk about what some of those are and how people can find that information?
One of the other most popular part things that we do is we do profiles. And so each of the women who was a panelist at the recent event, you can read an in-depth profile on them. So, the you know, SVP and treasurer, Procter & Gamble, you can read all about Terry Listowel and the other women in the profiles that we do. They're fascinating. We're actually doing one right now on Sarah Beth. This is a woman who's in her 60s. She owns Sarah Beth's Kitchen in New York City. If you've ever been to New York, if you've ever had a brunch with a girlfriend, that's the hot place to go. Now she's opening up, I think, her second location in Tokyo. So wow. That's going to be a good one, right? And those are really popular. We've interviewed everyone from, you know, Condoleezza Rice, you know, all the great women who are making a big difference in the world in terms of business. And the other thing that's really hot is every week we send out a Pink Minute Mentor video. And it's 1 minute with a very powerful woman in business who mentors other women on something she really believes in and is passionate about, so we can see more women advance.
So what kinds of things can you talk about in a minute?
It's amazing what you can accomplish in a minute, you know? I mean, back in the days of TV, right? The whole, you'd cover the whole war in a minute and 15 seconds.
Right.
So they're getting pretty in-depth on issues. They'll take just one short issue. It may be on, you know, how to demonstrate confidence in the workplace. How does that actually look? What do you need to do? The importance of taking risks. We just did one on the importance of communication skills for women, which is a huge issue. This is something that is actually keeping women from getting into the C-suite because they're uncomfortable giving presentations to the board of directors, you know, into the leadership of the organization and a, you know, Fortune 500 company. So these are things that I think are really, you know, helping, and you really can get into a little depth there, which is fun.
Well, and you mentioned earlier one of the articles about the mompreneurs, which I think that's such a cool word. So can you talk a little bit more about what mompreneurs are doing and if they're, you know, what kind of businesses they're starting?
Well, when it comes to women business owners, this is the fastest growth area in terms of business ownership. More women are opening up businesses than ever before in history. It's the fastest growth sector. The businesses still tend to be significantly smaller than male-owned companies. You know, so there are a lot of issues around what can you do to scale your business that we talk about. How can you better market your business? We just interviewed a woman who started a new line of shoes, beautiful shoes. Actually, we gave away her shoes as gifts to
nice.
The panelists at the last
love
event.
Shoes.
Yeah, so she talked about, you know, how do you, with the limited marketing dollars, really get the word out? So she partnered with outlets like Nordstrom's, you know, so it's just sharing that kind of wisdom that these owners experience. How do they get access to funding? That sort of thing, which is really, really needed.
Well, and a few weeks ago, we interviewed a gentleman who's a franchise broker, and he was mentioning that women buying franchises are at higher rates than ever before and, you know, almost equal to men now. So, and I know on your website, you actually have a whole section that's franchise advice.
We do, because we do see a lot of women who are opening franchises. You know, it's almost a way to, if you want to go into business of your own and you want to take a little bit less risk, that's a great way to do it. There is a cost to get into the game, but those businesses tend to be more successful and have more longevity, so that's a great option. We're seeing a lot of women being interested in that too, especially now as the economy recovers. You know, so many people have lost their corporate job, and women especially, I think these mompreneurs are looking for a business that they can do that also gives them the flexibility to have a certain kind of lifestyle, but then they can reap the benefits of working hard and being smart because it all comes back to them personally.
So when you started Pink Magazine, did you have any idea that it was going to morph and transition into the platform that you have now?
We sort of did. You know, we had conversations about starting it as a three-legged stool. First and foremost was the magazine, followed by events, followed by our online presence. And we thought that in the next several years, that business model would flip upside down, and it certainly has.
Well, and I love that you were such a visionary to know that. I think most people wouldn't have really looked at it quite that way.
People did think we were crazy initially, and now they're saying, oh, okay, this makes sense. And a lot of, you know, in terms of the advertising dollars, which is how we support the business model, initially there wasn't a lot of that digital ad revenue, and increasingly companies know that's where they need to reach the consumer, especially the influential, affluent female consumer.
Right, right. Well, and I know that Little Pink Book also has a huge initiative to support nonprofits that that are women and specifically women and girls that have things to do with women and girls. So, and you all have donated more than $70,000 to those organizations.
We have. We really do believe that we have a responsibility to give back to the next generation of women and girls. And so we made the commitment when we started the company that good times, bad times, we would always give back. And so every single pink event we have ever had, we had a fundraiser component to that event. Most recently, it was the Boys and Girls Clubs of Metro Atlanta. And the CEO, Missy Dugan, was there and, you know, very passionate about the organization. Also is a national organization, Boys and Girls Clubs of America. They do great things for young people, and there are some really wonderful success stories for the young girls and young women who went through that program, and we were just happy to be able to support it. And all of our sponsors and the companies we work with, you know, whether it's FedEx, Coca-Cola, AIG, all of these companies chip in, Home Depot, with great prizes and gifts that we then can give out and raise dollars and awareness for these nonprofits that are helping women and girls. So it's really a great, really fun thing to do.
So how do you decide which nonprofits you're going to support?
Well, one thing we did that we love, we did a list featuring the top 10 women in nonprofit, the top 10 women in philanthropy. And actually, you can find it on littlepinkbook.com under our lists, articles, and resources. And then we let people vote which one of these organizations and these women do you want us to showcase and feature at our next event? And that was a good way to decide. And, you know, we look at all of the different options and we try to give it to a different organization every event so that we can sort of spread around the awareness and the dollars.
Well, I think that really is one of the coolest things of social media and the, you know, the way technology has evolved, that people can be so interactive and you can get so much information from the people that are interested in your content, that you can actually, it's a two-way street as opposed to just being one way and wondering if you're hitting the mark or not.
Exactly. And one of the exciting things we're doing in 2013, early 2013, late January, we're doing a big campaign to give away a whole week at Canyon Ranch, the spa.
Oh, wow.
And it's all, you know, it's really to say thank you and to showcase the women who have had the courage to do what they love in their work. And so you can send us this great picture. I mean, the crazier, more compelling, the better, right? And it's through Facebook. So you send us this picture that demonstrates how you had the courage to do what you love with a caption of how you did it. And whoever gets the most votes, then it will be up to the editors to decide the most amazing story and example of a woman who really had that courage. And that will be the winner of this trip to Canyon Ranch.
And so the listeners would just come to your Facebook page and post that picture with the caption?
Right.
And then, that's and right. then encourage their
exactly.
friends to vote for
exactly.
them. Oh, I think that's awesome.
It's going to be really fun. So we're working on
I'm
that
gonna
right now.
I'm going to have to think up a cool picture to put
I
on your...
I can see you on it, Vanessa.
I
Why
know.
Not?
A week at Canyon Ranch. I think that sounds amazing. Well, and Cynthia, I know that that you're married to a very creative and successful businessman and author, Joey Ryman, and that that you both are big idea people. You're big visionaries and you always have big ideas. So I'm curious what kinds of challenges being in a marriage with two big idea people and two really busy careers have been.
Oh, well, probably one of the biggest challenges was back when the BlackBerry first came out, you know, and it sort of consumed you and took over your life. And actually, Joey, he has a new book out, by the way, The Story of Purpose, which is crazy brilliant. And all the Fortune 500 companies have turned to him to give their organizations purpose internally and externally to improve the world, and it translates to profits and all of that. But back in the day when we first got the BlackBerry, that was a challenge for us to really draw the line. And actually had Joey, who's a writer, and you can see this story on Little Pink Book, write the story, The BlackBerry Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, you know, bring the BlackBerry into the bedroom, as an example. So occasionally we have to remind ourselves of, you know, those Ten Commandments. But it's great fun. It's crazy. We try to have some downtime. We have two sons who are teenagers and been married more than 20 years and definitely the best part of my life. We call ourselves familionaires because we believe that your riches really are in your family and those you love.
That's such a great term. I love that. So you've published 6 books yourself. Can you tell me a little bit about those books and how they've impacted your career?
Oh, the books were great fun to do. Vaccinating Your Child was the one that won the Georgia Author of the Year Award, and I'd been moderating immunization updates immunization update, say that three times fast, for the CDC, and a woman doctor and I finally decided it was time to share that vaccination information with the general public, in addition to the healthcare providers who got to see those broadcasts over more than a decade. So that's what that book was about. Words Every Child Must Hear was a fun book that was inspired by the birth of my first son, Alden. And we did some books that were the bath book series, just, you know, fun to read and to be inspired. So that's what that's all about.
So do you have any other books on the horizon that you're thinking about?
We are working on one in the women's business space. So details to come on that.
Well, excellent. So do you and Joey collaborate on any projects together?
I think we serve as a muse for each other and encourage each other and, you know, are a sounding board and very honest with each other.
Well, and I think that's so important. It's so important to have somebody that you trust that you can bounce ideas off of and create, you know, kind of a synergy with that.
Right. We really are mentors for each other, if you will, and he's amazing.
So how can businesses use the power of the pen to create a competitive advantage?
Well, I mean, certainly tapping into the new media and realizing that, you know, journalism and media and the power of the pen is different today than it used to be, because you don't always need a pen. But, you know, it's sad to see that I know Emory University is discontinuing their journalism department over there. And
oh, wow.
I don't think this is the end of journalism. I think it's the beginning of new journalism. So I think it's really thinking about it in a different way that's more personal and can become viral and where you're talking to the individual.
Well, and I think it's interesting that now there are jobs and careers available that even just a few years ago didn't exist because of the way that things are morphing more to a digital platform and to, you know, managing those conversations and having information that is really interactive.
Really, if you want to go into that business, the journalism business, it's important to be able to not just write well, I think, but to be able to write for multiple different disciplines, whether it's, you know, blogs or, you know, any of that, whether it's tweets, all of that now becomes really important.
So what do you see some of the new things that are going to be happening at Pink over the next year or over the next few years?
Well, we have this amazing, you know, new team of women. We're going to be dipping our toe into doing some webinars. That's been requested of us, you know, really focusing on these events and just increasing the quality, improving the quality of the daily e-notes so it's more user-friendly and relevant to women in our community every day. And we'll help them connect with each other and really achieve the goals that they set out for themselves. And first and foremost, I think to be really careful about how you define those goals and that it is based on something that's internal rather than external, to create your own definition of success. When you ask women, well, what is your personal definition of success? And then look at the organization's definition of success and somehow to figure out a way to marry the two.
I think that's such a key point because I think for a long time we've all, men and women, looked at success as something that somebody else determined that this was the measure of success. And I think it's starting to change now where we say, well, what does success mean for me? And finding the right fit to achieve your own success, not necessarily what somebody else would view as success.
Right, because even back when we launched Pink several years ago, the definition of success had to do with your pay and your position, right? And, you know, the corner window office, that's not the case anymore. It's about something much bigger and much deeper. And I think women are driving that shift in what defines success because we know that if you don't define yourself, then somebody else will define that for you. They'll tell you what constitutes success, so you really want to make sure it's on your terms.
Well, and I know for years you were a TV anchor, so you were comfortable being behind the camera, and I keep seeing more and more articles now about how video is becoming so much more important for businesses in all kinds of different aspects. You mentioned that you do the one-minute mentoring video. Are there some other things that you have on the horizon for incorporating video into the Pink platform?
Well, you know, it's a really big part of it, you know, just to be able to see those videos and to have someone, you know, speak to you and they're just looking right at you into the camera. It makes it very personal and very real. You know, so we are going to be doing more of that in the future, yes.
Well, I think that's awesome. Well, and do you have any last thoughts for our listeners about how they could embrace the power of Pink in 2013?
Well, I just think, you know, we see so many high-profile women in business today, and we think, oh, women are really have made it. But the reality is that the data has not changed over the last several years. We've been really stagnant in terms of the number of women on board seats, the percentage of women of color, especially when it comes to those women in leadership roles, when it comes to the pay gap. It's still huge. It ranges from, you know, a high of 52 cents on the dollar for Hispanic women. That's the low. 57 cents on the dollar, still pretty dismal for Hispanic women, to a high of 82 cents on the dollar for women who are graduating from college. So I think there are some things that we really need to be doing. Companies need to be thinking different. We need to be thinking different in terms of how we advance and, you know, what we can do on our own behalf to excel in our career. It's up to us, and we can make the changes just with a little bit of information and foresight and doing things differently.
So are you all able to track the demographics of the women that are subscribing to your e-notes to be able to judge your topics that way?
We do. You know, most of our women are moving into more senior level roles. We do know that our women are very ambitious. That's the one thing that all of the women in Little Pink Books community have in common. They want to accomplish more. They want to live a better life. They want to make more of a difference in their communities. And they also tend to be quite affluent overall. They have a higher net worth, I think, you know, just because they're the go-getters. So we know who they are. They are all over the country, and they want to help and reach out and help other women really excel too. So it's a good group.
So how can our listeners get to become part of the Pink community? How can they connect with you all?
Oh, well, definitely check it out on littlepinkbook.com, and you can get the e-note every day or share it with, you know, a friend of yours who you would like to see advance, maybe who is, you know, rethinking or wanting to evolve a little bit in her career, her life. It's perfect for someone like that, or could be a daughter, could be somebody else you work with that you want to see them succeed, and let us know what you think.
And I know that you all have a Twitter presence and Facebook presence and all kinds of different things.
Yes, we do.
And those are all linked on the website.
They're all linked on the website on littlepinkbook.com, so it's easy to find. And, yeah, and just, you know, share other great information that, you know, you may have come across. I mean, we just received saw a story the other day that it'll be, we talked about the pay gap, the year 2067 before we see that being, you know, more equal.
Wow.
So, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
We do have a lot of work to do.
And it's mostly just awareness, you know, it's just being aware of a few things you can do. We did a big report. We're going to make it available shortly on moving women into global business roles, how taking on a global job or a job abroad can dramatically alter your career. I think that's one of the success secrets that a lot of the women who make it to the top have done that. And that made a big difference in their career. Women being very optimistic, not taking no for a final answer, making sure, again, to negotiate salary. You come into a new position. A lot of people are getting jobs these days. 2013 is going to be a big year for that in the job market. And when you talk about pay, to be really careful and make sure you go into the situation aware of what others in that particular role are earning as well. You can check that out on salary.com. We have lots of salary information also on Little Pink Book. And then you want to make sure you know your value, and you want to make sure you do negotiate. And when you're given an offer, remember, it's an offer. You don't have to say yes. Women tend to say, yes, I'll take it. Thank you very much. No. Say, let me think about this, and go home and sleep on it. And then come back and say, you know, can we bump it up to this? Can we set a goal to have this kind of an increase after a certain period of time? What does success look like? And if I achieve these things, what will my bonus be? How will we increase my pay after I accomplish these things? So it's just, you know, little nuggets of information like that could dramatically alter a woman's pay over the course of her life. Data shows women lose about $500,000 over the course of their careers simply because they don't negotiate. And I didn't in my first job, in my TV jobs. I didn't know any better.
Right.
Again, one of the reasons why it's so important, it was important for me to do Pink and Little Pink Book, to share that kind of
information. Well, and as we learn better, we do better. And so I love that Pink has so much information for people, and particularly women, to learn better.
Yeah, pretty much if, you know, you're looking for something, you know, how to improve your resume, you can just do a search at the bottom of the page and the stories will come up and help you with that information.
Well, and I would encourage listeners to come and poke around the website, because there's just a wealth of information in addition to the daily e-note, there's all kinds of, you know, the top lists that you mentioned and the profiles of successful women and answers to lots of different questions.
So. Right. We're featuring always top women in business. 2013, we'll be featuring the top women in diversity, top women in business. So it's nice to see who the movers and shakers are and how these women think and how they got to where they are.
So, Kevin, I think we've overwhelmed you a little bit with all of this pink in the room.
Not at all. I'm very excited to hear about all of it.
Are we scaring you, Kevin?
Not at all. I was raised by two strong female characters. My stepmom and my mother both ran their own businesses, and I had to see the hardships they went through. So they raised me, and I think it's just great what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's nice to see it makes a difference. Actually, 80% of our readers say they read something that pretty dramatically altered their career. So it's good. It's
That's
good to
really
see.
Powerful.
It's good to share, just like you're doing on your show. So
That's
congratulations
right.
to you too.
Thanks.
Well, Cynthia, thanks so much for being with us today. And it's hard to believe that we're out of time. So it's amazing. But thank you to our listeners for joining us today. And we welcome your comments and suggestions about content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. You know, thanks, Kevin, for co-hosting and keeping me on track today.
I don't know if I did my co-hosting, but no problem.
Well, and I hope that this new year is going to be a great one for you as well. So thank you to our guest, Cynthia Good. Cynthia, can you give your contact information one more time?
Cynthia Good. Well, that's me, but it's littlepinkbook.com. And if anybody has New Year's resolutions of what they won't do, they plan not to do in 2013, definitely let us know.
Excellent. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services and how they help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write. We hope that you'll join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads. And you can find out more about Right Choice Services at rightchoiceservices.com. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right Here, Right Now.